Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we have a really specific mission, actually. We want to move beyond just saying will all the time for the future, because honestly, sometimes will is just too vague.
Exactly. It lacks precision, especially when the stakes are high. Think professional emails, planning documents. Ambiguity can really cost you.
So we're diving into how English lets you signal the exact level of certainty or planning or even formality for things that haven't happened yet.
Think of it as a linguistic toolkit. Our sources break these future expressions down pretty neatly into five main types. We've got high certainty, general probability, fixed arrangements, the immediate future, and then personal plans or intentions. It helps you signal things instantly.
Okay, let's start at the top then. High certainty. This is for stuff that's basically guaranteed, right? The bound to happen category.
Precisely. Zero wiggle room. Okay. Forms like bound to, sure to, certain to. And what's interesting is the structure itself kind of locks in that certainty. It's always subject plus the be verb plus that adjective like bound or sure plus to plus the basic verb.
Ah, okay. So when you say she is bound to pass the test, you're not just guessing.
Not at all. You're stating it as, like, an inevitability, probably based on how much she studied or her past results, you know.
Yeah.
There's evidence behind it.
Got it. Okay, so if that's one extreme, what about the middle ground? The maybe, maybe not stuff. General probability.
Yeah, that's where likely to and unlikely to come in. We're shifting from that near certainty to just a strong expectation.
Like weather forecasts. It's likely to rain this afternoon.
Perfect example. And you can tweak that likelihood too. You can add adverbs like very or quite. Saying something is very likely pushes it closer to certain. But crucially, you still keep that little bit of it's more accurate reporting, really.
Makes sense. Okay, probability covered. Let's shift to timing. What about things happening like right now or very, very soon?
The immediate future. For that, we use be about to. It signals something's happening in the next few moments.
The movie's about to start, that kind of thing.
Exactly. It implies urgency. You need to hurry, grab your popcorn, whatever. The window is closing, basically. It's a real flag to the listener.
Okay, that's super immediate. How does that contrast with fixed arrangements? These sound more rigid.
They are. These are futures set by external schedules or rules. And the sources actually point out two distinct forms here, which can seem a bit overlapping at first.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what's the real difference between be due to and be to? Don't they both just mean something is scheduled?
Good question. The key is who or what is setting the future event. Be due to is almost always for external, impersonal schedules. Think transport, deadlines. The train is due to arrive at platform 7. It's passive. The schedule dictates it.
Okay, so the train isn't deciding to arrive. It's just following the timetable.
Right, but be to, that's more active. It implies a formal instruction, an order, a requirement. It's the language of rules or authority.
Ah, like students are to report to the office.
Exactly. That's not just a schedule. It's a command, a mandate. Subtle difference, but important for formality and obligation.
Okay, that clears it up. One's a timetable, the other's an order. Got it. So last category then, personal stuff. How do we talk about our own future plans or intentions differently? Like, if I have a solid goal versus just an idea I'm kicking around.
This is a really neat distinction, actually. The grammar itself signals how committed you are in your own mind. For a real intention, a goal you're actively working towards, you use the infinitive, be planning to or hoping to, plus the base verb.
She is hoping to visit Japan this summer. That sounds pretty concrete.
It does. It suggests she's probably already looking at flights or saving up, you know. Mm. But if it's just an idea, something you're considering. Then you use the gerund, the ing form, be thinking of plus verbing.
Like, I'm thinking of moving to a different city soon.
Exactly. Just switching from planning to move to thinking of moving tells the listener it's much less definite. It's still in the consideration phase.
Wow. Okay. So that little grammatical switch carries a lot of weight about intent. So wrapping this up, we've basically gone through a whole spectrum from dead certainties to vague ideas, from immediate actions to formal instructions.
You really have a much richer palette now than just using will. You can communicate exactly how certain, how formal, or how imminent something is. It cuts down confusion.
Definitely gives you more tools.
It does. And maybe a final thought or a challenge for you listening. Try combining these. The sources hint at this. Can you link, say, probability and intention? Like, how would you phrase it if something is unlikely to happen because they are planning to change course?
Ooh, interesting. Combining them to show complex relationships.
Precisely. It allows for some incredibly nuanced and precise communication about the future. Something to play with.